The 5 o'clock happy hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Where B-dubs is football. Visit Buffalo Wild Wings every day, Wednesday, for half-priced apps and $2 off all tall drafts. Woo! Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We are into the happy hour. Things can get a little kooky come this hour on the show.
I don't
show.
Know what's left after what we've already done today.
I got one.
Oh?
Major League Baseball bans... Major League Baseball's ban remains after an arbitrator upheld the suspension of Bad Bunny Baseball Agency. And you're thinking to yourself, Bad Bunny Baseball Agency, like the Latin singer Bad Bunny?
Yeah, as Chris said, Bad Bunny, like the Bad Bunny, the Bad Bunny?
He did say that.
The Energizer Bunny?
Yes, that Bad Bunny.
Easter Bunny?
He had an agency, and some players were part of that agency.
Oh, I did not know.
They had been issued a 5-year ban from the Major League Baseball Players Association. That was then taken to an arbiter. The arbiter upheld that ruling. And in that, it said, I'll just give you a little backstory. The union issued a notice of discipline on April 10th. This is the beginning of the season, by the way, revoking Arroyo's agent certification and denying certification to Assad and Miranda. These are the three gentlemen that represent the Bad Bunny agency. On October 30th, this case, Noah Assad, Jonathan Miranda, and William Arroyo of Rima Sports, that ruling was upheld. In the discipline on the 10th that the union, players union, had dropped on them, it said it was denying the certification. All agents who represent players have to go through a certification process through Major League Baseball Players Association.
I can't just...
No, you
go
can't
up
just
to Jackson
show up
Merrill
like,
tomorrow and go,
I
hey,
represent Jackson.
I'm a Dolphin fan as well. Yeah. And he goes, hey, all right.
Why don't you represent me, Ella?
Sure. Not going to happen.
Couldn't work. You got to have a certification. That was denied for all three gentlemen. And Major League Baseball citing a $200,000 interest-free loan and a $19,000 $500 gift. That was used and given to basically get clientele, which is illegal. Can't do that, at least in Major League Baseball. So that is upheld. That is one of the potpourri stories we have in the 5 o'clock hour. So, you know, if you're represented by Bad Bunny, you might want to get a new agent right now.
Cause I got to go find a new agent, guys.
they won't be able to represent you in terms of your new contract.
I want to know what Eric Spoelstra did, Scrape.
Scraby?
To screw up.
Mr.
The game
Spoelstra.
Last night. One of my favorite coaches in all of sports.
Me too. Because he worked for his position.
Oh, there we go.
Scraby,
I already told you.
Scraby likes the...
And I've already told him that Eric Spoelstra's dad was a guy by the name of John Spoelstra, who was at one time the president of the Portland Trail Blazers.
I did not know that, but...
Now Scraby can't stand him. He has a
that
silver
was
tone.
Eric Spoelstra's in to the NBA.
I know.
He was so a video guy first, Grave. You can still fall in love with that.
Yeah. See, did
but
he get the job?
Dad was
now,
the
I need you to call his dad and ask him if he got him the job because of his dad. Because then, if he did, then I'm out on him. But he worked in the video room and worked his way up to head coach.
Yes.
Did you know that he's been a head coach for 17 seasons?
No. That's
it's crazy.
Fast.
It's gone by. Yeah. I do put it this way. This is how I'm getting old, right? I remember when LeBron James and those cats wanted Spoelstra gone.
Oh yeah,
At the very beginning.
And Pat Riley was like, "Nah, man, this is my Pat Riley."
He took over in 2008.
Pat Riley was on point with that hiring.
He was, man.
He stuck by it. Even they, how many times did they lose it before they won the title? It was at least a few.
Remember, they lost to Dallas in that first year.
That's right.
And they got off to an atrocious start, and everybody wanted to get rid of them. And then after, and I think the start of the second season, it was still kind of a little rocky. And then they turned up and won two championships. So the rest is history.
And Spoelstra's won even after LeBron has left.
Yes, he has.
Quite a bit.
Did he win?
Not a championship.
I was going
to
say.
But he didn't win last night. It was a disaster last night.
Eric Spoelstra did something that you don't see very often. He called a timeout when his team didn't have any timeouts. Score was tied 121-121 against the Pistons, and the Pistons sunk two technical free throws and won the game. Here is what Eric Spoelstra said post-game about calling a timeout.
Can we just pass this along before you play this? Because I think it bears pointing out. What happened was the Pistons got the last basket, and I think it was a mistake by his team that allowed the guy to get the tying basket with like 1 second
and
to go.
He was furious.
And he was furious at his own team for screwing up the play. So he ran out on the court like coaches do and just, time out! You idiots!
Yeah.
And then he was the idiot.
Yeah.
Because the ref said, coach, you ain't got no more timeouts.
And he looked around like,
and that was
ball game. Oh,
that was ball game, yeah. So it's even funnier when you think about it like that.
Play this out.
Here's Spoelstra.
We felt like, thought Cade might be in the field. He wasn't in the field. JB just drew up a great play. We didn't have the backside protected. That was just a really well executed play. And then I just made a serious mental error, there at the end. That's on me. I feel horrible about it. There's really no excuse for that. I'm 17 years in. We had talked about it in the huddle. I knew that we didn't have anything. I just got emotional and reactive on that, and I just made a horrendous mistake there at the end. It's a shame, because we really fought back. We had some great defensive possessions, hustle possessions, those 50-50 balls. And then Tyler was just sensational.
He caught himself saying he effed up. He was headed down.
He wanted to.
He wanted to say it a couple times. It always makes me think back to Chris Webber calling that timeout against the Tar Heels for that national championship.
Steve Fisher, head coach.
I remember where I was when I saw, even at that age, I was like, y'all don't have no timeouts, no!
Yeah.
No. I don't understand.
That's got to be a sick feeling. Like,
I don't understand why it's a penalty. Like, can't you just be like, you don't have any timeouts?
Nah, because you stopped it. You could be stopping.
Stopping the action. You do get the timeout, by the way.
Yeah, you get the timeout.
You get it. It just costs you two free throws.
Okay. All right, so you have to pay two free throws for a timeout. All right.
You got
to
pay.
All right, I get that now.
Yeah. You don't have the money, you got to work it off. Sorry. Yeah.
Don't you think a guy who's coached 17 years worth of NBA basketball, his brain's going to go haywire for a second.
You don't even know 17 years. 17 minutes as a coach, you should know when you don't have any timeouts.
I guess
that is why, you don't work off of emotion, because it can lead you down the wrong path there, Scraby.
I just think it would be hilarious. I haven't seen the clip yet, but I really want to see him
come on
running
court.
You idiots! Time out!
Idiots is like the special word today for coaches.
Coach, you're kind of the idiot. We don't have any more timeouts.
But hey, he took that head on.
He did.
He took the blame.
That's what you got to do.
That's
right?
How it should go.
Right. Every other coach would give you some cockamamie thing about the guy at the scores table.
I heard him say
we had one left or some BS. Just admit it.
And
you blew it.
Tyler Hero, after the game, said he had his coaches back. He said, great players make bad plays. We ride with Spo no matter what.
Hey, yeah, my man Tyler Hero was...
He was in the mood to say it. He made 10 threes.
He was fine.
They should have asked some other player who didn't make 10 threes what they thought.
He was feeling pretty good about himself at that point.
He was happy about it, yeah.
He was coming down half court and just launching, and it was going.
That's close to the record. I think Clay has a record, 14.
Joel Embiid returned yesterday. He looked a little sluggish.
Shaky.
What's he going to do tonight, you think?
Oh, nothing, because he's not playing tonight.
I forgot.
Scraby walked himself into that
I knew that.
We talked about it already.
I know.
He said last night, it was kind of funny in a way, because it's already been determined way a long time ago that he wasn't going to play back-to-back games. So after he played last night, the journalists trying to be the media, said, hey, you going to play tomorrow night? And he said, well, I already said that I'm not going to play back-to-back games, but he tried to make it sound like there was still a chance. And he said,
He doesn't want to get fined again.
What he said was, we're going to wait. They're going to wait and do, what did they, what word did they use? But it was the discretion of whoever. They're going to check us out. And then when they came back to Scott Van Pelt on ESPN, he's like, what are they going to check out? Right? Like, they knew he wasn't playing.
He doesn't want to get fired.
But he didn't want to say it. But yeah, he already was out, and he indeed is out. So,
Lakers, Memphis tonight. Cup game.
Cup game.
These two teams don't like each other. Ja Morant had his comments last week after.
Is he playing?
That's a good question.
I thought he was jarred. Him and Zion are trying to compete for the most missed games in their career to start a career.
Surprise, Philadelphia's ahead of Cleveland at the moment.
He's week to week with a hip subluxation.
So he might not play, what you're telling me.
39,
which I don't mind, by the way. He can go ahead and...
Oh, Ja?
Yeah, he can
play. They don't care at the end of the season when you win 50 games how many games superstars missed while you were playing them.
Nah, they don't.
Did you guys see? Now, I thought this was... We were talking about Paul Skeens earlier and the Rookie of the Year and everything, and the argument is Jackson Merrill's an everyday player. Well, did you guys know that there's only 16 rookies since Silver Slugger was given out, which was established in 1980, to win the award? So Jackson Merrill is the 16th rookie.
Yeah, one just happened a couple of years ago, Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah, last year it was Gunnar Henderson, too.
So back-to-back-to-back years.
Back-to-back-to-back years. 2017, Aaron Judge won. 2016, Corey Seager, Jose Abreu, Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Ichiro Suzuka, Nomar Garciaparra, Mike Piazza, Craig Biggio, Matt Noakes. That's the only name I don't recognize.
Well, you should know Matt Noakes. He went to Patrick Henry High School.
He lived in Poway for a bit. Yes, indeed.
Matt Noakes, I believe, went to Patrick Henry.
Was a Yankee.
And also a Tiger. I think the year he won this, he was a Tiger.
Yes.
Benito won it as well that same year, 1987. First time a rookie won the Silver Slugger. Benito and Matt Noakes.
Doesn't this prove to you
that Jackson deserves
that
it?
That he should win it?
You don't need to convince us.
Yeah, we're just the wrong
crowd.
We
already voted for him, you know?
You're talking about the Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about Rookie of the Year. I mean, only 16 rookies since 1980 have done this in each...
It's impressive.
It's very impressive. He did so many things last
but
year.
How many Rookie of the Year nominees also get nominated for the Cy Young? I bet it's less than 16. That would be Paul Skeens' argument.
Tech debt. This is not an NBA Cup game between the Lakers and Memphis tonight.
What? How do you know?
No you cup. Guys are just full of misinformation
I
today.
I think it's...
Tony is. I'm not jumping on that.
I think it's Tuesdays and Fridays.
See, if you don't play Tuesday or Friday, then it's not a cup game.
Well, I think while the cup games are going on, Tuesday and Friday are cup
I know
games.
That the Bulls are in the same division, who did this, in the cup division, as the Cavs and Celtics.
Yeah, they have the Cavs Friday.
I mean, wait, but what are the Bulls doing in there with those two teams? The Bulls should be in there with Beverly Hills High School and Lemoyne College.
There got to be some people.
So they had a chance.
There's got to be some beatdown teams in the group
that's
stage.
The Bulls. That's
see,
the
this
Bulls.
Is why it's so confusing, because even two guys that watch the NBA
I didn't know.
Don't know if it's an NBA Cup night because it's not a Tuesday or a Friday. It's like so confusing.
Yeah, I just put that together, so...
Today is Wednesday, so you're good.
Yeah, no cup game.
Regular
today.
Floor.
That's okay, Scrape. If you don't know when the NBA Cup is and you make a mistake, the chat will point it out to you.
You got it. Let's get to break.
Thankfully.
On the other side, more Gwen and Chris.
Yay.
Here's some traffic.
Yay.
All right, welcome back to the show. 5:21 is the time. The name is Roki Sasaki. 23-year-old star pitcher for the Chiba Latte Mariners. Hopefully he'll be the next Padre. I think it's a little ahead of ourselves to say that. But
is it the Marines? Or am I wrong?
It says Mariners here, but...
What is this?
It says Marines.
I'm reading the story.
Yeah.
Chiba Latte Mariners. M-A-R-I-N-E-R-S, Mariners. But I'm not disagreeing with you, Scrape.
Okay, good.
In a world where...
Because I'm looking at it right now.
And it says Marines for you.
Yeah, it's...
Then ESPN just boxed it up. Which I find...
Mariners, Marines.
Yeah, there's either an R in there or there's not. All right, let's get to the bottom of it.
No, there's not. I'm
there's
telling
not.
You, there's
You're just
not.
Looking at... It says Marines everywhere else.
Never believed the first time.
Yes, right.
Well,
he could have he could have the owner of the Marines standing right over there, and I still wouldn't believe Scraby.
There is a certain truth to that.
Yeah. So. Well, honestly, I'm reading the Kylie McDaniel ESPN story, and he called them the Mariners. So. That's what I read.
Some editor missed that.
Yes, they did. Chibolate, 23-year-old star pitcher. And the best news of all is that he can only make a certain amount of money in the majors. So it's the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets and all those teams cannot outbid everybody.
Correct. That's the best part.
It is. That's what I just said. That's the best part.
He's a lottery ticket.
That's what I said. That's the best part. And we hope that... between Darvish and the sometimes Japanese-speaking A.J. Preller, can pry him here to San Diego. If that doesn't happen, could Garrett Crochet be another option? We discussed this earlier, the White Sox left-hander. I don't think it's much of an option. Apparently, the White Sox are saying that if they trade him, or when they trade him, because they prefer to trade him, they want a package. And that package needs to be led by a high-end position player. Tony and I and Scraby all discussed the fact that the Padres don't really have anybody who fits that description.
True.
Or at least anybody they'd want to part with that fits that description.
Yes.
So, you know, if it's not going to be Sasaki, and it's not going to be Crochet, and hopefully it's Sasaki, but if they don't get him, where else are they going to go? Well, there was a list of like 35, 40 pitchers I saw on TV. I mean, there's a lot of guys they can get. So I feel like, you know, we see the biggest names, you know, in Soto's name, and you see the Sasaki now come into the mix and Garrett Crochet. And I think a lot of fans in general think if we don't get one of them, then it's a loss. And just it's not like that. And last year should have proved it to you. Jerickson Profar was not on anyone's radar.
Nope.
Last summer. No one. No one said, God, I hope they get him. I don't think too many people were into Donovan Solano or David Peralta either.
No, in fact, I said Donovan Solano is not going to help this team, and I was very wrong.
Very wrong. Is there anybody else you know thinks not going to help this team that we might have AJ lock in on?
I guess when I say it, it's going to come true. They're going to help the team. Yeah. AJ's really good at finding the players.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, he's really good at
Tony working. Said in AJ we trust, and I think that's. I know a lot of you are going to try to laugh that off and say, "Well, what about the time he let?" Max Fried go in a trade or trade Turner.
Get him back this offseason.
I know. That's why I brought him up. Everybody's lost somebody. I guarantee you there's not a GM anywhere that hasn't let somebody go that they wish they didn't.
Yeah, I mean,
it's part of that game.
If sports is a what have you done for me lately world, then you should be believing everything in
that's
in
fair.
AJ
right.
Player. I mean, we get that. What have you done for me lately?
Yes, I know you were great back then,
His most recent work.
Performance was right on the money.
Spot on.
Should have been executive of the year, or at least a finalist, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, that was some hate right there. Haters.
People that got tired of being taken advantage of by AJ Preller out there.
Tired of getting fleeced.
I know one thing, and this isn't on Chris Young, but the Texas Rangers are never going to trade with us again. I mean, he fleeced them so many times back in the day.
Who do we get from the Rangers?
There was a time when there was almost a joke was the Texas Rangers. We called them every time.
They were just handing
us
players.
5 or 6 years ago, and they were handing out guys. I can't remember.
No, there's certain teams that AJ does deals with. The Guardians. The Marlins.
Tampa.
And Tampa is like the top
Texas.
Three.
I'm telling you, I could go back and find a whole bunch of Texans.
You know what it was? I don't know if we were making deals with the Rangers, but we were getting guys that were in the Rangers system at one point because obviously AJ was there.
AJ
so
was
he's
a Ranger
familiar
guy.
With those guys.
When I type in Padres Rangers trades, the first thing that pops up is the San Diego Padres are reportedly in talks to acquire Texas Rangers outfielder Joey Gallo. So
yeah,
maybe that's what you were looking
one
at.
No, that's not what I was looking at.
That one fell through.
Yeah, good thing, too.
Good thing, too.
Skip Schumacher's now a Ranger guy.
I mean, that's just some a stopover, right?
Some say in waiting.
In waiting for Boch.
Ah.
Yeah.
Will
Venable's out of there?
Manager, so that leaves the open spot. And I don't think, actually, that at least from what I read, I don't know if Skip's going to be on the field. I think he is a special assistant to Big CY.
That's who. That's kind of what Mike Schilt's role was around here.
Indeed, it
special
was.
Assistants. Got to watch out for those guys.
Yeah, they're going to take your job.
Going to get you.
Anytime you're a special assistant, your
job's
in trouble.
Do we have any special assistants working on this show, Scrapey, behind the scenes that I need to know about?
You know, Frank did send me an email the other day, and his signature said special assistant.
Uh-oh. Watch
means
out,
I'm going to get Wally Pipped or
watch
something.
Watch out, player.
Oof, that's a little scary to think about.
This is also scary to think about. Raiders announced today, sticking with Gardner Minshew as quarterback.
They don't have much of a choice.
They have Desmond Ridder. It's a possibility.
Like I said.
What happened to the Raiders so quickly? You blame it all on Antonio Pierce, don't you?
I don't think it. I think it was a doomed roster from the moment he got it. Devontae.
But haven't they gotten worse this year?
They were bad. If we recall, I know they won their last couple of games that got Antonio Pierce that job, but they were atrocious when he took the job. And they're about the same.
Let me see. 2023. Let's check the Raiders' record. NFL standings. The Raiders' record in 2023 was 8-9.
Oh,
second place.
He got them up there.
That's right.
And now what's their record this year?
2-7.
I got out of the way you said.
But they do have Norv Turner and his son, Scott. So for those of you who followed Norv's career, you can plan on a Raider turnaround at any moment.
I have the... this is the second time today that this is a Tony Gwynn Jr. moment happened. Oh, the Bears offensive coordinator.
You are getting up there in age, too.
I'm almost 40. Next year, I'm going to be 40.
That's when it starts to happen,
and I killed a lot of brain cells in my former life.
You're 40
life.
Going on about 73.
Yes, I did.
In the brain cell department.
You know, the brain cells do come back once you stop drinking. But
yes, but there's a lot of them that have to come back.
Yes. And
there's many wayward brain cells out there.
I got 20 days left until I got 8 years worth of it. And my liver is regenerating nicely, everybody.
I hope so.
The offensive coordinator for the Bears. There's this whole thing.
The former offensive
Shane Waldron.
Yeah.
There's a lot. The players were coming out just talking about this guy saying, and Keenan Allen said, he's just too nice of a guy. He didn't hold anyone accountable. He just kind of let it go. And it just doesn't seem like the coaching staff is set up to help this team win.
This coaching staff is not set up to help this team win. Let's just kind of track backwards a little bit if we got a little time.
The Bears. All right, George Halas founded the organization. Let's start there.
I don't know if I have the knowledge.
You're
to
not going
to
go back that far.
That deep. Okay. But let's just go back to their three last quarterbacks that they've drafted. Trubisky.
Hey.
He started okay.
What?
I think he made the playoffs.
No. Maybe on one of those teams that was all defense and running.
No, remember they double doinked in the playoffs to lose.
I don't remember.
Is that when the coach at that time held the tryout for the kickers during the offseason?
No, Cody Parkey went on the Today Show to talk about things without notifying his team, and then he was found out he was cut. I don't think the coach did that. It was some stunt from Grey Goose.
Maybe it was the coach. So you had Trubisky. That was a high first round pick. Didn't work out. Their next quarterback, Justin Fields. That obviously hasn't worked out.
Although I think he's good. I think the Bears destroyed that one.
And really, you can go all the way back to Rex Grossman, right? I mean, because that's probably...
Oh, let's go further. Can I say Jake Cutler for you?
How about Jake Cutler?
Jake Cutler was after, wasn't he, of
Rex Grossman?
Yes.
Jake Cutler was...
You're going to tell me that you think Jake Cutler was pretty good?
I think he was pretty good.
No, he wasn't. He really wasn't.
Well, let's go. I think he holds didn't he play for your Dolphins too?
And he was terrible for them.
Well, he was very old at that time. He was very, very old at that time.
I make the point about the Raiders organization because we often are talking about how things kind of work from the top down. They clearly have a disconnect from office to coach to players. Because their defense in this year is not bad at all, but their offense just looks so discombobulated every snap. Mm. And, you know, Caleb's not helping himself at all. I mean, to me, when you watch that team, why wouldn't you want him to get the ball out of his hands as quick as possible? It's like they keep trying. It's like when you're playing Madden or college football and you keep picking these deep routes and you got to wait for it to take place. And by the time
you get sacked,
you get sacked. That's what he's doing. He's like, get the ball out of his hands. But I think it might be over in terms of that staff after this season.
Everybody go 45 yards downfield and then turn around. That'll get your quarterback sacked.
And it doesn't help that Caleb Williams throughout college was able to extend play. So in his mind, he thinks at the NFL level, I can probably do this. And he's quickly learning that you can't.
Chris, before you hate on Jay Cutler anymore, he holds the team record for the Bears in passing. So,
well, I mean,
that's not saying anything because the Bears have only one Hall of Fame quarterback. His name is Sid Luckman, and he got done playing in the 40s. So the Bears haven't done a whole lot since then.
With not all hard due to get respect, those records,
yes,
I think,
to Jay Cutler.
You guys are disparaging Jay Cutler too much.
Yeah, no, we're not.
I'm not disparaging.
No, we're not.
Jay.
Ask Philip Rivers what he thought of Jay Cutler.
Okay, that's a whole different story. Because when Jay Cutler played for the Broncos, he was very annoying.
Yes, he was.
He was very annoying.
Yes, he was.
And Philip let him know about it.
Yes, he did. All right, more football with Brent Cebulski in the final segment of the day.
The Pittsburgh-Baltimore game.
That's a morning game.
That's a morning game.
10 a.m.
Yeah, I guess they could.
10 a.m., Bills and Chiefs, 1 p.m. Also at 1 p.m., Seahawks, Niners.
Let's go Seahawks.
You know, Brock Purdy.
That's also a Seahawk, too, by the way.
I have a feeling that's going to be every bird in existence.
You know, I think
a condor, it's going to be a Seahawk, it's going to be an eagle or a
version.
It's a falcon as well.
If I ever heard a falcon, that's it.
You guys know Brock Purdy has been pretty good this year.
I heard your boy putting him up in the MVP race already.
Who's my boy?
I think it's Debo. Debo said that.
Oh, well, teammates always say that.
Mm, yeah.
But he's
very pedestrian.
Are you kidding me? His stats are great. He's second in passing.
I just know that we aren't talking about him.
I hope Jake Moody misses all six field goal attempts this week, and then runs over to Debo and says, "Now shut the hell up and get out of my face."
You know, I think it would be better if Debo drops three passes today.
Yeah. Oh, and Jake Moody can go up to him.
See, I would totally be behind that.
That's fair.
You have a big pass.
I would suggest to Mr. Moody to
be paying attention in this game.
Right. Don't you better know what you're getting into when you go mess with that guy.
Say that to Debo and then go run behind your long snapper.
Because he's ready.
He wants to fight.
All right. I know we have to get to our interview with Brent Cebulski of Bleacher Report. Before we do so, let's check a little traffic. Joining us is a guest we haven't had on in quite some time. Happy to finally hear from Brent Cebulski. Bleacher Report joins us here. And Brent, first, welcome back, man. How have you been?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling like I've been reinserted in the lineup a la Anthony Richardson. So that's how we're going to roll today.
Very good start to this interview, because that's exactly where I'm going. Anthony Richards regains the starting position. You know, looking back on it in hindsight, it certainly feels like this was more punishment for tapping out than it was anything else. He quickly has got the starting position back from Joe Flacco. What's your take on how the Colts are handling this whole situation?
I do feel it was mishandled, and abundantly so. If you look at the situation, keep something in mind, right? Let's start from the baseline of what you did when you selected Anthony Richardson with the fourth overall pick, knowing that he was one of the youngest players in his draft class, that he had limited starting experience at the collegiate level, that he was a project that would take time and needed reps despite the ups and downs that you were going to experience throughout the entire process. Now, fast forward. Should he have tapped out in the game? Absolutely not. As a quarterback, you're a leader. I get you're tired, and you were just tackled by a 300-pound man, and it's rough out there. It's the NFL, right? I get all that. But you need to show maturity. Now, with that said, this is a young man who's 22 years old. He's younger than Bo Nix. He's younger than Jaden Daniels. He's younger than Caleb Williams. And so I think he needs that time and experience, and it's coming out in the ways that people are talking publicly, right? You had Kenny Moore, our captain of the team, come out this week and say this team doesn't know essentially how to work hard enough, right? you had Anthony Richardson say today that when they asked him about his retrospective of being benched, that he knows how much it is to be a quarterback in the NFL. He understands that now. So now that that's out of the way, it's time to allow him to grow and develop as you hopefully expect him to as your starting quarterback. And I think you got to take those lumps as it go along. He is so talented and so young and so, has so much ability that Joe Flacco did absolutely nothing for this organization. He's a great teammate. He's a great veteran. He's a guy we saw catch a little magic in a bottle last year at the Cleveland Browns, but he's 39 years old. You either need to have a team that's winning or a team that has hope. And Indianapolis didn't have either the last 2 weeks.
Brent Sobolewski, he is one of our favorites, definitely, to talk NFL. This is why. Brent, let's stick with young quarterbacks. You mentioned Caleb Williams, and from afar, I think it's really kind of a little difficult for us to tell whether he's playing terrible or whether he's getting the worst possible coaching. They just did fire the offensive coordinator. Maybe the Bears are trying to tell us it was coaching. Is Caleb Williams in a good spot? And if not, how does he get in a good spot there in Chicago?
Well, we're not live as it pertains to being on video, so I can't pull a Jackson Smith where I don't answer the question after trying to discuss Shane Waldron. But overall, I think it's a little from column A, it's a little from column B in all reality. Look, you guys have a scapegoat, your offensive coordinator, it's not working, you move on. You have a defensive-minded head coach. Obviously, he's not going to take the blame, at least at this point in the process. Caleb Williams has his ups and downs, and I was just going through the process. We put out an article this week where we, as an organization, the Bleach Report Scouting Department, decide to look at our evaluations of this year's quarterback class halfway through the season, see how it stacked up based on what we saw. And a lot of things were very similar for Caleb Williams. We've seen stretches, right? And I called it the rule of threes. He was very poor in the first three games. He was really good in the next three games, and he's regressed over the last three games. You look at him at USC, no one ever questioned his natural ability, his playmaking, his arm talent overall. Those are all apparent. They're still apparent in the NFL. But there are stretches when he plays poorly, whether it's decision-making, whether it's how he's processing, or trying to do too much and place too much on his shoulders. And I think we're seeing that in the NFL. We're seeing the same exact player. So what it's going to take ultimately is him to improve, but simultaneously bringing in someone that can build around an offense around his skills. Because, quite frankly, on paper, Chicago is extremely talented in offense, right? Their wide receivers are really good. They have DeAndre Swift at running back. That is a solid offense line. It's not great, but Caleb has made it look worse at times this year. So I think it's a little bit from that column A and a little bit from column B.
Brent Sobolewski joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Brent, the AFC is an interesting picture of teams. A lot of teams with a ton of talent, but they all seem to have their flaws, right? It seems like Kansas City, who's undefeated, offense isn't quite yet what it is. They do enough to win every game. Baltimore's offense is terrific, but their defense has definitely taken a step back. I don't think you know exactly what you're getting offensively from a team like the Steelers. How do you break down these teams in terms of who's the leader of the pack? Obviously, the Chiefs are the Super Bowl champs and looking to three-peat, something that hasn't been done in quite some time. Are they the top team from your standpoint in the AFC still?
Well, I was going to joke and say the Detroit Lions is your answer because they're not in the AFC. But when you look at the AFC, one of the nice parts is we get to discover some of them playing each other this weekend, right?
Yeah.
And that will help to decide it along the way. The team I'm most impressed with, and maybe this is me being a little bit biased because my expectations were high entering the season, but how the Pittsburgh Steelers have come together week after week, because we have to look back to where they were and not where they are now. We have to see the trend lines. And so, as an example, when you look at the Steelers, we didn't know who their starting quarterback was going to be to enter the season, and it wasn't Russell Wilson. So now he has become entrenched. He's taken over that offense. They add Mike Williams to the offense. Their offensive line has gone through transition, right? You didn't know Zach Frazier was going to start initially at center. He's been very, very good, probably the best rookie offensive lineman in the NFL. You had to bring in Mason McCormick, another rookie offensive lineman at right guard. You had to transition some guys at positions because of injuries. And now as it's slowly coming together, it's looking better and better and better. And that, to me, really shows how this group has come together and can be competitive against those teams we traditionally look at as the AFC powerhouses, when you have the Kansas City Chiefs who have those question marks, when you have the Buffalo Bills who have a lot of injuries at the skill positions at the moment, when you have the Baltimore Ravens not as good on defense. So I've been really impressed by the Steelers this year and how everything's come together.
Yeah, as Brent said, I mean, the final four at the end for the AFC might be playing each other this weekend.
Yeah.
You've got Buffalo, Kansas City, you got Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Brent, I always let Tony ask about the good teams because I'm here to ask about the bad ones. And I love to talk Dallas Cowboys right now. You mentioned the Bears. The coaches this season. Is Mike McCarthy like almost fait accompli? I mean, the Jerry Jones can't stay with him much longer. And if so, who else's time is winding down?
Well, I can't see that far in the future because I'm blinded by the light coming through Dallas Cowboys. hey, they're playing a night game this week. So
that's right,
be
yeah.
Fine. you know, I look at the way they are, and it's situational. And the thing that – I know I'm joking about the sun when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, but you also have to keep in mind how Jerry Jones responded to that question – and why that's important. And the reason I'm pointing that out is this. Don't forget, McCarthy was Jerry Jones' handpicked head coach,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was.
And if we go back to that time when that occurred, I would argue that entire head coaching search was just a flat-out sham. You have McCarthy and you have Marvin Lewis. We won't get into details why it was those two people, but I think we all know why it was those two people. And Mike McCarthy was always going to get that job. And so what is Jerry Jones not like to admit? He doesn't want to admit he's wrong.
Nope.
Ever with anything and anything he does. He doesn't even want to admit that the sun shines through the stadium and they can't do something about it. So I look at the Dallas Cowboys and I see a team with talent. I know Dak's out for the rest of the year. You have CeeDee Lamb. You have investments in the offensive line. You have Micah Parsons, right? You're going to start pulling out of the malaise that was with their salary cap issues this offseason, and they can be competitive next year. So will they make a move? And I'm not necessarily sure they will just because of Jerry Jones' stubbornness.
Yeah, it has seriously been as bad as I can remember it being for the Cowboys this year in terms of...
And America is celebrating.
They really are. Brent, as always, man, appreciate getting a chance to finally catch up again. We look forward to talking to you again down the stretch of this NFL season. And, again, welcome back, man. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it, Brent.
No, I appreciate it. And, hey, keep in mind, them Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl invites went out this week. So that's coming up real soon, gentlemen. I just booked my trip to Mobile, so I will be there and we can discuss it.
Brent's favorite part of the year is this part of the season.
And it's almost become our favorite part.
It has, certainly. Brent, thanks again, man. Appreciate your time.
All right, guys. You have a good one.
Couldn't answer the Dallas question because the sun was in his eyes. I'm the one that's supposed to say all the funny lines around here, Brent. Come on.
That is a funny line, actually. That was the 5 o'clock football hours presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Visit Buffalo Wild Wings every Wednesday for half-price apps and $2 off all tall drafts.
Very good, Scrape.
Thank you.
Very good. What's coming up on the Chronicles tonight? Anything
what you got,
exciting?
No.
I love when we ask you 7 minutes before the show and you have
says,
no
Whoo.
Idea.
Whoo. Man, I don't know.
Do I have a show coming up? This is not good.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Garrett Crochet and whether or not the Padres should trade for him. And then we'll probably check in with Sammy Lev near the end of the Scraby Chronicles. Daily Gripe is there as well.
Yeah, I heard that Sam Levitt, who's doing the Inside San Diego baseball show tonight at 7 o'clock, we'll be doing that show from New York City.
New York, that really chops my hide.
I think
New York City.
What is that from?
It was a a salsa commercial back in the
day? Yeah. Oh, my. Pace Picante.
Pace Picante.
Tony and I are like prime marketing test subjects.
That's how you know it worked. I still remember.
You guys are not prime marketing suspect, because if everybody accepted marketing the way you guys do, all these companies would be richer than you know what.
I remember that.
You guys remember everything.
You know what's my favorite commercial right now during football games is the chunky soup Dexter Lawrence, sexy Dexy, when he's like eating the soup and his shirt busts open with his muscles.
Is this old?
No, it's on right now.
That's a new one.
Dexter Lawrence. Oh, I was thinking of Dexter Manley, the old Redskin guy. Yeah. Back when they were the Redskins. Yeah.
And I love the Dexter Lawrence chunky soup commercial.
Keep an eye out for it.
It's
funnier than Dan Marino with his glasses on.
No, that one's pretty good.
Okay,
there's another one. When Matthew McConaughey, Christian McCaffrey.
That's hilarious.
And he goes, "What are you eating, Jerry?" And he goes, "Rice." And Matthew McConaughey looks at him. He goes, "Jerry's eating rice."
Matthew McConaughey is convinced that the NFL and food are like in cahoots.
Yes,
with
yes.
the name. So like,
Uber Eats is what it is. Yeah.
Right.
And he's like, "Jerry's eating rice."
Oh, Jerry Rice.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah,
I just got it.
Yeah.
Chronicles up next. Enjoy. Have a good night.